was the third most famous battle in the history of Islam. This battle was a very important battle, and it was a unique battle from various aspects and various angles. In this battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had tested the iman of the believers. Mawlana Sayyid Abul Hasan al-Nadwi rahimahullah writes, "Ubtuliya al-muslimuna ibtila'an lam yubtalu bimithli." That this was the greatest test for the believers. The iman of the believers was tested in this battle to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, "Hunalika ibtuliya al-mu'minun." That at a certain juncture, Allah says that the believers were tested. And Allah himself is saying that they were tested. We can well imagine what must have been the level of the test of the iman. So just as it was a test for the iman of the believers, it became a means of exposing the nifaq and hypocrisy of the munafiqeen. Because of the conditions that prevailed, the very terrifying conditions that had overcome the believers at that time, it exposed the nifaq and the hypocrisy of the munafiqeen. Then it was unique from this angle that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come and assisted the believers, and the believers had won this battle with hardly any fighting whatsoever. And fourthly, it was unique from this angle that it was the decisive battle. It was the last battle in which the kuffar of Makkah had marched against the Muslims of Madinah Munawwara and Sahaba radiallahu anhu. This was the last time that they marched against them. After this battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Al-an naghzuhum wa la yaghzuna." From now onwards, we will march against them, they will not march against us. So this battle was unique from these angles. It had taken place in the month of Shawwal, the fifth year after Hijrah. It is known as Ghazwatul Khandaq as well as Ghazwatul Ahzab. Ghazwatul Khandaq translates as the battle of the trench. And that was because of the means that was used by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to protect Madinah Munawwara in the form of building a trench around Madinah Munawwara, as will be discussed later. So therefore it was known as Ghazwatul Khandaq. And another name is Ghazwatul Ahzab, the battle of the coalitions, the battle of the groups. The reason for it being named Ghazwatul Ahzab is that in this battle, it was not only one enemy that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had faced. Rather, it was a coalition that was formed by the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarrama, by the Jews, by other tribes. There was a coalition that was formed and they marched against Madinah Munawwara. Now the ones who had instigated the battle and who had gone around to prepare people and get people ready to fight against and to march against Madinah Munawwara were actually the Jews of the Banu Nadir. They were banished from Madinah Munawwara just before that, a few months before that, they were banished from Madinah Munawwara. And in order to take revenge from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had devised this plan of going to the Quraysh and to the other Arab tribes and gathering them and getting them ready to march against Madinah Munawwara with the hope that once and for all, na'udhu billah, we will put an end to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. At this juncture, it is important for us to discuss a little background of the Jews of Madinah Munawwara and what was their fate. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to Madinah Munawwara, there were three main Jewish tribes in Madinah Munawwara: the Banu Qaynuqa, the Banu Nadir, and the Banu Qurayza. They were the three Jewish tribes that were residing in Madinah Munawwara. Although they were certain and they were convinced that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the true Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they did not believe and accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hasadam min indi anfusihim, surely because of jealousy that he has not come from our family, he has come from the Arabs. So they refused to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 5 months after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into an agreement and a pact with these Jews. Various details and the clauses of this agreement is still found in the books of history up till today, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the freedom to practice on their deen. However, there were many conditions that were made, in which the highlights were that they would not be able to assist anyone against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If there is an invasion from an outside force, then they will join hands with the Muslims to fight and to protect Madinah Munawwara. If anyone had to pay blood money, for whatever reason it may be, then the other would assist in paying that blood money. So these were some of the conditions that Rasulullah had made with the Jews, and he gave them the freedom of living in Madinah Munawwara. However, shortly after the Battle of Badr, the first Jewish tribe, the Banu Qaynuqa, had breached the agreement, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had banished them from Madinah Munawwara at the beginning of Dhul-Qa'dah, the second year after Hijrah. So the Battle of Badr took place in Ramadan, second year after Hijrah, and at the beginning of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had banished the Banu Qaynuqa from Madinah Munawwara. Thereafter, in the month of Rabiul Awwal, fourth year after Hijrah, after the Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the Banu Nadir. As was explained, one of the clauses of the treaty was that if there was blood money that needed to be paid, then they would assist in discharging and paying off that blood money. So one Sahabi unintentionally had killed two kuffar. Or he had killed these two kuffar, not knowing that there was an agreement between their tribe and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence, it was not permissible for him, or it was incorrect for him to have killed these two kuffar, and it was now necessary that blood money be paid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the agreement, he went to the Banu Nadir, the Jews, to request them to also assist in paying off this blood money. It was Rabiul Awwal, the fourth year after Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to discuss with them. Along with him were a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum, less than 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, among them Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Umar radiallahu an, Uthman radiallahu an, and other notable Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, he sat down among the Banu Nadir, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat next to a wall. They welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam apparently very warmly, and they expressed their happiness that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to visit them. They mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why don't you partake of a meal also, and then we will discuss whatever needs to be discussed. While Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated there with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, one of the leaders, Huyay bin Akhtab, he speaks to a few among them and he says that this is an ideal opportunity. You will not get an opportunity like this, na'udhu billah, to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to put an end to the threat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why don't one of you ascend this roof and throw a huge rock on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put an end to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Another leader among them, Salam bin Mishkam, he pleads to them and he says that don't ever do this. If you never listen to me for your entire life, it's fine. But on this one occasion, please listen to me. Because if you have to do this, if you have to intend to do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform him of your plot and of your plans, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be saved, and this will be a breach to your pact and your agreement with him, and then the consequences would be very, very serious. However, they did not pay attention to his plea, and they were determined that this was a golden opportunity for them, and they would not allow this opportunity to go by. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this plot of the Jews. So whilst they were still preparing, and one of them was ascending to the roof, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately gets up and he walks away, not informing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum also what was going on. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks away. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum felt perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to answer the call of nature to relieve himself. So initially they did not get up, but after some time, when they realize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not coming back, his sahaba radiallahu anhu wake up in search of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As they come closer to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the dwellings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they ask someone that have you seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the person says, yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has entered Madinah Munawwara already. When they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the sahaba radiallahu anhum that this was the plot of the Jews and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved me from them. It was perhaps regarding this incident that this ayat of the Qur'an Majeed was revealed. In the sixth juz of the Qur'an Majeed, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O believers, remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Idh hamma qawmun ay yabsutu ilaykum aydiyahum fakaffa aydiyahum ankum. That when certain people intended to do evil to you, and obviously not just to you, but to your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they intended to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fakaffa aydiyahum ankum. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that held back and restrained their hands from you. Allah did not allow their plot and their plan to materialize. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the believers should place their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.